What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in. On today's show, we have back-to-back episodes of Bright Star, a series that ran from 1952 to 1953, and it was a series about a newspaper editor and her number one reporter and their quest to report the truth. Now, even though this series ran for only one season, they did make over 50 episodes. And personally, I do enjoy the shows that have reporters play the role of detectives. With that said, if you do enjoy this episode, please check out Night Beat, Volumes 1 and 2, in the archives. And as always, if you enjoy this show, if you keep coming back to it, then please follow, review, and rate. Not only are those things free to do, but they help out the show, and they make it so that more listeners can see the podcast. And also, keep those questions coming, so I can answer them on our one-year anniversary episodes. You can contact me through the links in the description below. And as always, please enjoy the show.
The Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunn as Susan and Fred McMurray as Joe. Together in the gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star.
Have you heard what happened on the Star?
Did you hear what he said to her?
You know what she told him?
Yes, the whole town's talking. The Star they're talking about is the Morning Star, a newspaper. The her they're talking about is Susan. Lovely, attractive, headstrong Susan. And the him? Well, you can see him right now walking down the street over there. Yes, and believe me, if he knew what was about to happen, he wouldn't be whistling.
Hey, Jack.
Huh?
Oh, you mean me?
Yeah. You a reporter, writes pieces for the paper and stuff, ain't you?
That's right.
Well, let's step into this alley here, will you? I got an item for you.
News, eh?
Sure. Right here's a good place.
Yeah, the sun was kind of hot out there anyway.
Yeah.
Well, friend, what's this item you've got?
Well, it's strictly personal, Jim. You've been making inquiry around about concerning the guaranteed, always-flowing oil development company, huh?
True, I have.
Yeah, you've been saying like that company ain't on a level.
Well, you might say I entertain certain doubts.
Look, let's make it simple, eh, Jim? You've been saying that you are going to print that stuff in the Hillsdale Morning Star.
Those are my intentions.
Yeah, well, the president of our company, Mr. Connor Gaston, he asked me to convince you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Print nothing but praise about our company, or I am going to see that you land in the obituary column.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair warning, friend. But I think I should tell you that I used to be heavyweight champion at my college.
Oh, you was a champion?
Yeah. Don't believe me, eh?
Well, yeah, sure, champ, sure, but... Wonder just what college he went to.
altercation with a truck?
I'll exchange witticisms with you later, Sammy. I want to see Miss Armstrong.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Susan, I've got something to say to you.
Shh. I'm on the phone, George. Really, Mr. Gaston? No. No! Well, he just came in, Mr. Gaston, and I'll certainly talk to him. Not at all. Goodbye, and thank you for calling, Mr. Gaston.
Susan, I've got something to say to you.
George, really? Look at your suit.
Well, suits get this way when they've been bounced around in the gutter. Occupant still inside.
Oh?
Oh, she says. Try to control your vast outpouring of sympathy, Miss Armstrong. About this phony oil outfit that everybody in town is falling for.
I've just heard from Mr. Gaston, George. He told me how you assaulted that poor little salesman of his.
He what?
What made you do it, George?
Sunspots. Now listen, Susan. I'm going to write an article blasting Gaston and his crooked outfit from here to...
Just what proof have you?
Well, none. Yet. But I'll have...
George, I know character. I've talked to Mr. Gaston over the phone. And from what Alderman Connolly tells me...
Alderman Connolly, he's as hard to bribe as a head waiter.
I know character, George.
Will you stop saying that?
Shouting will not convince me.
All right. So we won't print anything. So Gaston sells his phony oil stock to the whole town. You happy?
Do I have to remind you, George?
That you're the editor, I know. No. That you inherited the paper from your father and did very nicely before I arrived. Granted. But I have a nasty, suspicious mind. I concur. Have I left out anything? Oh, yes. You know character.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Actually, George, you worry me with all your suspicions. Why don't you come to dinner tonight and we'll talk things over?
Comfort. All right. But if you think you're going to bribe me with food, you're right.
Working late tonight, Mr. Harvey? Lift your feet, huh?
Yeah. I'm just filing away the time till 6:30, Sammy.
Filing away. Okay, put them down. You and the boss can live things up a little tonight?
Miss Armstrong has been kind enough to invite me for a platonic dinner, yes.
Ha.
For one so young, Sammy, you have a very nasty ha.
Ha.
Miss Armstrong is interested in me only as a reporter.
That phrase can have a very sad history, Mr. Harvey.
Sweep your floor, Sammy.
You know, you could be a success, Mr. Harvey, if you wanted to be.
Your confidence touches me.
Why don't you marry Miss Armstrong and let her take you out of all this?
Thank you, Horatia Alger.
Anytime. 6:15, Mr. Harvey.
No, thanks. Oh, say, Sammy, you haven't got a couple of bucks for a box of chocolates, have you?
There's a romantic imagination. Chocolates. Take her an orchid. A single rose.
A single rose? Sammy, have you got a buck for a single rose?
No.
Well, that's time to go.
Visitor, Mr. Harvey.
Yeah, so I see.
Good evening, boy reporters. Miss Armstrong here.
What's it to you?
What's it to you? I wish I'd said that. Gets things like that off all the time, this kid.
You should hear him when he's hot.
Stay off my side, Sammy. Miss Armstrong's not here, and she won't be back.
Well, I don't blame her. Take a message. My boss, Mr. Gaston, he's a very big man in oil. He enjoyed talking to Miss Armstrong on the phone today. He wishes her to call on him at his hotel suite tomorrow. Can you remember all that, or should I write it down?
Don't bother. Incidentally, chum, that was a pretty lucky punch you got in this afternoon.
Well, it happens all the time.
You think you could do it again?
It figures.
Mr. Harvey, the paper needs you.
Stand aside, Sammy. This won't take long. All right, you.
Poor Mr. Harvey.
Wonder what else he learned in college.
How's the dinner coming, Patience? Mr. Harvey should be here in a minute.
Everything's under control, Miss Armstrong.
But I want things to be especially nice tonight, Patience. Mr. Harvey and I have been having, well, one of our disagreements.
No.
But he was quite nice about coming to dinner.
Big of him. Let's see. He doesn't get paid until tomorrow. Was he nice or just weak from hunger?
Now, George always speaks very well of you, Patience. And your cooking, too.
No fool, Georgie. What time is old freeloader due?
About 6:30. I thought we might have a leisurely dinner and then retire to the music room later.
Uh-huh. And then you just happened to wander over to the piano, hum a few bars or something romantic.
Mm. You think that's too corny?
George is a corny fellow. He might even bring his saxophone along.
No, I think that's in Hawk. Well, you'll do your best on the dinner, won't you, Patience?
I'll pretend I'm cooking it for my favorite movie hero.
And after dinner, you'll just, leave us?
Oh, sure. They want me to burn any incense?
No, I don't think so. No, George has hay fever.
If it's for free, he's got it.
Well, I've got to finish dressing. Oh, Patience, what can I wear to make him really notice me?
How about a corsage of baked potatoes?
Oh, he is nice, isn't he?
Hungry, but nice.
And tonight might even be the night that, you know...
I know. Tonight might be the night.
I hope the piano's in tune.
The man who plays the sax would never notice.
It's so nice to have a man around the house. It's so nice to have a man around the house. Someone who is glad he found you, who will put his arms around you.
I'm giving 2-1. Nothing happens tonight. Nothing. Good evening, Mr. Harvey.
Good evening, Patience. More beautiful with each passing hour.
It's my perfume, Amour Hollandaise.
Turn me aside with a jest, Patience, but the flame still burns on.
You'll find a glass of water in the kitchen if it gets too hot. Hey, something happened to you.
Nothing at all.
Sure. Well, have a chair, gorgeous George. Miss Armstrong will be descending the grand staircase momentarily.
Comfortable chair. Pleasant house. Can't beat the cooking either. Hope my jaw's not too sore to enjoy it.
George? What Patience should have told me. I had no idea you were here. George, what's happened to you?
I brought it on myself.
But I only left
it's
you...
It's nothing, Susan, nothing. Susan, you didn't dress just for me.
Dress? Oh, this? Oh, it's just an old thing of mine.
Well, it certainly does things for you. Or vice versa, whichever the case may be.
Thank you.
And sorry now I didn't put on my other tie.
Sit down, George.
Huh? Oh, didn't realize I was standing. A tribute to your dress.
You're gallant.
You know, Susan, it always surprises me to see you when you're outside of the office. You look like a different person.
Oh, thanks very much.
I didn't exactly mean it the way it sounded. I just meant that, well, women in business, you know.
Our places in the home.
No, not that at all. It's just, in fact, I can't imagine you in a home. I mean...
Yes.
Well, you... what I mean is you... Well, where's my hat? I'll go quietly. Oh,
just don't talk so much, George. Well, look. The piano. I haven't played in ages. Do you mind?
No. Won't bother me at all. I mean, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Will you help me move this bench, George? Oh,
certainly. Yeah, that all right? You know, Susan, I was just noticing the candlelight. It does something to you.
Oh, what?
It makes you look, I don't know, changed.
Does it?
Susan, we shouldn't argue all the time. Like that thing today. I shouldn't have blown up the way I did it. It was foolish.
Oh, it's all right, George.
What do we care if some crook peddles a few shares of phony oil stock here in town? Hillsdale hasn't been taken for a long time.
I am sure, George, that the development of the new Hillsdale oil field will do a lot for our city.
Oh, sure. Hillsdale, the new Arabia.
And why not? I have every faith that Mr. Gaston and his organization, and I know
character. You told me.
Now, look, here's something you didn't know, Mr. Harvey. There's an heiress stopping at the General Grant Hotel, Miss Cecily Burnett, and she's here to try and buy up the entire stock issue. Freeze Hillsdale out.
Well, it'll be the warmest winter we ever had.
George, I'll be you the most exasperate. Cigarette.
Thank you.
We shall not discuss Mr. Gaston further.
Quite. Ah, the gall of that phone. He sent word that he was quite fascinated with you and would like you to call at the hotel tomorrow.
Oh, how interesting.
Susan, you're not going.
Well, why not?
Why not? You think I'd let you alone with that fake moose?
Well, I fail to see that you have a great amount of choice in the matter.
Oh, you do? Well, if you're going, then I'm going with you.
There seems to be more than the usual confusion in your mind, George. You are a reporter on my paper, not my guardian.
Well, right now, what you need is a guardian.
Dinner.
Like a mountain of jealousy rearing its tousled head.
Oh, sure. Just because I can smell a crook a mile off, it's jealousy.
Well, if you can smell a crook as well as you can scent food, well, I might be impressed.
Personalities. All right, if we're down to personalities, how
dinner
about...
Dinner is served.
What?
Dinner.
Oh. My arm, Miss Armstrong?
I can manage quite nicely, Mr. Harvey.
Somehow, I doubt very much that tonight is the night.
Now, suppose we get back to our two stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, in the second act of our story. Let's see now. Susan is just about to go down.
Good morning, patients.
Good morning, Miss Armstrong. Your breakfast is ready.
Thank you.
I take it that last night was not exactly an evening with Valentino.
Your assumption is correct, patients.
Too bad. You got a big investment in food in George.
A romance, patience, cannot be built entirely on stuffed cabbage.
That's open to question. However, oh, phone. Are you in, Miss Armstrong?
To Mr. Harvey, no.
Hello? Georgie.
I am not in.
She is not in, Mr. Harvey.
Wonder what he wanted.
Why didn't you talk to him and find out?
I couldn't.
Hello? He wants to know if you're still not in.
Yes.
Hello? She says yes. He wants to know if you said yes, you're not in, or yes, you are in.
I'll take it, patience. Hello?
Susan, I just wanted to make sure you weren't serious about calling on that phony oil promoter today.
Mr. Harvey, as editor of the Star, I cannot see how my appointments are a source of concern to you.
But, Susan, I...
However, your movements as a reporter are in my field. Therefore...
But, Susan...
Therefore, you will cover the PTA convention at 10, the dog show at 11, the Rotarian luncheon at 12, hog breeders exhibit at 1, the chrysanthemum grower show at 2, and be in my office from 3 to 5 to write your stories. Any questions?
Yes. Are you mad at me?
Yes.
Poor Georgie.
Well, morose is a word for Mr. Harvey.
I'm a strong man, Sammy. I wish to brood in silence.
Miss Armstrong has gone to call on the oil promoter. Pretty racy fellows, oil promoters.
Go fill an inkwell.
Why don't you strike back, Mr. Harvey?
How?
In the movies, Mr. Harvey, you would burst in on Miss Armstrong and Mr. Gaston in some suitable disguise. Like, say, a plumber.
Well, that's a silly idea if I ever heard one. Plumber, huh?
Borrow a wrench and a plunger. Your suit is just right for it.
Sammy, I may do it. I may just do it.
The spirit of the pioneer.
And if this Gaston steps one inch out of line, Sammy, where can I get a nice, big, fat wrench?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Carter Gaston, I'm Susan Armstrong from the Hillsdale Morning Star.
Oh, come in, Miss Armstrong. Very considerate of you to come.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Gaston.
Here now, just take this chair, Miss Armstrong, where I can look at you. Like to look a person right smack in the eye, ma'am. Can tell what sort they are in a minute.
Well, I always think so, too.
Nothing shifty-eyed about you, ma'am, if you'll excuse the liberty.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gaston.
And you and I, Miss Armstrong, we can do a lot for this city of yours. Civic betterment.
The greatest good for the greatest number.
Exactly. Did you know, ma'am, that a young lady of great wealth is right here in this same hotel trying to buy up my entire issue of stock before the public gets a chance at it?
Well, you're not going to sell.
Well, I haven't met the lady yet. Miss Burnett, of the Eastern Steamship Burnett's, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But I would much rather give the honest folks of Hillsdale a chance to cash in on the rich natural resources of their little community.
Well, I think that's a fine sentiment, Mr. Gaston.
Why, thank you, Miss Susan. And if you'll permit me to say so, I...
Plumber!
Why, George!
I hear you got a leaky pipe, Mr. Gaston.
Before you come busting in here, son, knock.
No, I'm sorry, but don't let me interrupt anything. I'll just go quietly on with my work.
You were saying, Mr. Gaston...
If you'll permit me to say so, Miss Susan, the good opinion of a fine woman like yourself means more to me than any...
What?
The good opinion of a fine woman like you means more to me...
How dare you!
I said the good...
I found the trouble.
Good. Then you're leaving.
No. I have to rip out a section of the wall here.
Miss Susan, may we continue this conversation over dinner?
Where are you eating?
Will you call me, Mr. Gaston?
Oh, my pleasure, ma'am. Goodbye now. Until tonight.
I'm sorry. I'll be back. I forgot my pickup.
George Harvey, of all the low, underhanded, sneaky...
Treacherous?
Yes.
Susan, if you can't see through this whole swindle by yourself...
Well, allow me to make my own judgments, Mr. Harvey. I know
character. I know, Susan. Susan, this oil scheme is a fake. What's more, I think this so-called heiress here in the hotel, this Cecily Burnett, is a fake, too. And I'm going to interview her and prove it.
Oh, you are. Oh, you just love that.
Purely business, Susan.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Harvey. And I'm going to be around to see that it stays purely business.
Well, Miss Burnett?
Yes?
I represent the Hillsdale Morning Star, Miss Burnett, and...
But how clever of you. I'll take one.
No. You see, Miss Burnett, I'm a reporter.
Well, of course you are. Come in, sit down. Report.
Thank you.
No, right here, by me.
Oh.
Now...
Well, just a few questions about your business in Hillsdale, Miss Burnett. You see,
Oh, you want to interview me? You sweet thing, you.
Thank you. You see, there's an oil promotion scheme underway here in town, Miss Burnett, and I...
Brown eyes.
Hmm? Oh. Well, you see, I have reason to believe this Gaston isn't what he presumes to be, and...
6'2"?
No. 6'3"?
3?
Mm-hmm. but if you're really considering putting money into this thing, Miss Burnett, well, I just don't think it would be very wise.
Excuse, please. 3 o'clock's match.
Susan.
First year at the General Grant Hotel.
Put it on the end table. Now then, as I was saying, how do you know I like wavy hair?
You want it over here?
Yes, and please hurry. Now then, golden boy, your name is,
George. George?
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Will you please get out of here? I'm sorry, George. I didn't catch your last name.
It's...
Dope. What did you say?
Oh, I said I hope everything's all right.
Well, it's not all right. Now, you please get out of here and get out fast.
Oh, certainly, ma'am.
Now, where were we, golden boy?
Golden boy. Oh, brother.
I'm sorry, George. Now I know what you want. You want to save me millions of dollars, and you want to tell me all about it tonight over dinner. Right?
Roughly, yes.
Oh, you do sweep a girl off her feet, Georgie. What time is dinner?
Oh, 9-ish?
You speak the language.
All right, get around.
But not around me, you reporter.
Until tonight, Cecily.
Oh, until tonight. Au revoir, Georgie.
Au revoir, Cecily.
Oh, these Frenchmen. Irresistible.
Well, Charles Boyer.
Coming in there as a waitress.
Oh, really?
Susan, of all the low conniving.
An heiress. If she's an heiress, I'm Pocahontas.
If you were any judge of character, Pokey, you'd know that this girl is in danger of being the innocent victim of that swindler you were so eager to make a dinner date with.
I was eager. Well, I didn't notice any long pauses in the conversation while you were making a date with her.
We will not discuss conversations overheard through keyholes.
Banging into a room as a plumber. I suppose that's recommended by Emily Pope.
Now, you listen, Susan.
Now, you listen to me, George. After all, where you go tonight is not of the slightest concern to me.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Au revoir, Mr. Harvey.
Au revoir, Miss Armstrong.
Good evening, Mr. Harvey and madam.
Oh, bonjour, Charles. Table for two, huh?
If you will follow me, please.
Oh,
Oh, what a delightful little bistro, Georgie. Sort of a subway with music.
It is a little crowded, Cecily.
Yes. Mr. Harvey, your table. Susan.
George. Well, how nice that we should have adjoining tables.
Adjoining? They're practically overlapping.
Oh, Mr. Gaston, you remember Mr. Harvey, the plumber.
Pleasure to see you again, sir.
And Miss Burnett, Miss Armstrong, a waitress.
How do you do? How do you do?
And Mr. Gaston, Miss Burnett.
Real pleasure, Miss Burnett, ma'am. Why did you have to come here?
Quite pleasure, Mr. Gaston. And entirely unexpected, I'm sure.
Well, shall we sit down, Cecily?
Yes, of course. Just bring me a shoehorn, Georgie, and I think I can make it.
There. No trouble at all, was it?
Oh, well, pardon me, George. My salad. I know you don't like garlic, so if you'll just wring out your sleeve.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Mr. Harvey, sir, as long as you've got your elbow in my butter, would you mind just running your arm over my corn on the cob?
I certainly would.
Ignore them, Georgie. I'm sure they had a lot to talk about before we came.
Well,
yes, we did have a lot to talk about, didn't we, Carter?
Carter?
I'm sure George wants to tell Cecily all about the plumbing business, and you were explaining oil to me.
Yeah, but he was.
Oh, we don't have to talk, Miss Susan, when I can feel your little hand in mine under the table.
Yes,
in
my hand.
That's my hand, you cheap, double-crossing chiseler.
Oh, Cecily, you...
Out on a business engagement tonight, you told me. Why,
get
you...
Get down, dear. You're an heiress.
Yes, and I'm just about to become a widow, too. Let me at him, George. George, let her at him.
Now, take it easy, Cecily. Hey, you've got trouble, Mr. Gaston.
Glad you come in, Rocky. We're blowing town. My wife, the heiress, just opened her big, rich mouth. Come on, Mrs.
Susan,
Vanderbilt.
Let him get away, George.
I'll stop him, Susan.
Stay here, Rocky. If the demon reporter here gets noisy, keep him quiet. Come on.
Well, I can handle him, boss. Hey, sit down there, fire eater.
Sit down, nothing. This time, you muscle-bound clown, I'm going to... Susan, look out!
You take your hands off my George, you...
Oh, hey! The little lady hit me!
And so did I.
Oh, George, you were so masterful.
Oh, you can't fool around forever with George Harvey, Susan.
Oh, no,
of course, you helped a little.
George, you did it.
Well, have it your way, Susan. We won't argue.
Mr. Harvey, what has happened?
Well, only two for dinner, Charles. The other couple won't be staying.
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in a moment.
George.
Yes, Susan.
Finished your story?
Just about. I had a call from police headquarters that they couldn't hold Gaston and his wife. They actually hadn't sold any stock yet.
George, you don't actually think I was taken in by him, do you? Do you?
Susan, you don't actually think that I was taken in even for a minute by his wife, the phony heiress, do you?
Well, I don't if you don't, George. If you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean. After all, Susan, we both know
no character.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Harry Von Zell inviting you to join us then.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunn as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in a gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star. Yes, it's the Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show, starring Irene Dunn as Susan Armstrong, owner and editor of the Hillsdale Morning Star, and Fred McMurray as George Harvey, the paper's star reporter. And as we join our two stars, it looks as though George is all set for a quiet, stay-at-home evening at Susan's home. Quiet evening? Well, you never can tell. When they begin,
Hi, Patience. Miss Armstrong home? Silly question, isn't it? Of course she is. We have a date.
Come in, Mr. Harvey. Miss Susan is in the living room.
Alone and waiting patiently, I take it. Playing the piano.
Mr. Harvey, I...
Hmm?
No, I just can't ruin that big, happy smile.
Peculiar, but no more than usual. Well... What is that?
Well, speaking of fishes, Susan, look what just swam in. Oh, hiya, Georgie, old buddy, old buddy.
George, you know Elwood Bray. George, Elwood.
I know Elwood, Susan. Not proud, not happy, but I know him.
Ah, just warming up the old tonsils when you came in, Georgie. But sit right down. We don't mind, do we, Susan?
Elwood and I were just talking over old times, George.
You know, Susie and I went together for a long time, Georgie?
No. I haven't the slightest interest in the matter, Elwood.
All right, I'll tell you all about it. Oh, I got a bad time, Susan.
I should never go out without a gun.
Childhood sweetheart, Susan and I. Childhood sweethearts. Right, Susan?
Well...
And even though every so often someone else comes along, I always come back to my Susan.
Oh, that's big of you, Elwood. Now, if you don't mind,
The times we've had. I feel for you, Georgie boy.
I shouldn't ask this, but why?
Why, the miserable life you must have had before you came to Hillsdale.
Oh, I don't know.
George was a very successful reporter in New York before he came here, Elwood.
That's all right. Sure. Elwood, for your information, I led a very full and satisfying social life in New York.
Poor, lonely fellow.
Now, Elwood, George, stop it.
It may just interest you to know, Elwood, that I was fortunate enough to be on intimate terms with some very famous people.
Oh, in with the society and theatrical set, I imagine.
As a matter of fact, I was.
Oh, sure.
Well, sure, we can take George's word for it, Elwood.
Naturally, naturally. He knew every actress in New York.
Just about?
I saw a very attractive girl in the paper today. Ah, here she is. Sunny Knight. You knew her, of course, George.
Sunny Knight?
Yeah.
Now, really, this whole discussion is entirely pointless.
Oh, Sunny Knight. Of course, we're old friends.
You're sure, Georgie?
Of course I'm sure. Good old Sunny. Almost wish I were in New York so I could look her up again.
You won't have to go to New York, Georgie.
I won't?
No. Sunny is opening right here in town with a review tomorrow.
She is?
Well, what's the matter, George?
Nothing. Not a thing. Good old Sonny.
Well, we'll have to make up a big party so George can introduce us to his friend, Susan. How about tomorrow night, George?
Fine. Dandy. I don't think I can make it.
But won't your friend be expecting you, George?
Well, if you're going to start taking sides with Elwood, Susan...
Taking sides about what?
You know what. And furthermore... Susan, either Elwood Bray goes or I go.
George, I still can't ask Elwood to go.
All right. You've made your choice. Good night.
George!
Well, I guess I showed them. I wonder if they'll miss me.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
time did Elwood check out last night, Miss Susan?
About 12 patients. Oh, dear, I guess I'll have to apologize to George this morning.
Yeah, why?
Why? Because of the way Elwood ruined our date. And then he needled poor George into bragging about knowing a girl he obviously didn't know at all.
Oh, why don't you let George simmer a while?
You really think I should?
Well, I think George needs a little competition. After all, that's the backbone of our economy.
Well, George has been getting into sort of a rut lately.
A rut? He's practically out of sight.
You might be right, Patience.
It's bad enough when they act like that after they're married. Then there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I'll see what I can do about shaking him up.
Good.
Oh, but I hate to do it. Our relationship's been so happy lately.
Miss Susan, as long as he's happy, nothing is going to happen. Nothing.
That sure is a sad story about Elwood Ray, Mr. Harvey.
It was a harrowing experience, Sammy.
What are you going to do about Sunny night?
Nothing, Sammy. Nothing at all. Oh, good morning, Susan.
Oh, good morning, George. Sammy.
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
Oh, about last night, George.
Yes?
Elwood was terribly sorry you couldn't stay. We had such a good time later on.
Yes, well.
Elwood was so amusing.
What did he do? Fall down the stairs?
George. And he reserved a table at the Ming Room for tonight. That's where your Miss Knight's Review is playing, isn't it?
Well.
But Elwood just insisted on making a party of it.
Big-hearted Elwood.
Then you'll join us there, George, huh? Oh, wonderful.
Well,
on the road to Mandalay.
Things don't look so good, Mr. Harvey.
They look swell, Sammy. After all, there's always the river.
Well, maybe I can help out. I'm seeing the manager of Miss Knight's Review today.
You?
Sure. I heard from their publicity man the show's looking for outstanding local talent prior to an extended Broadway run.
So?
Mr. Harvey, my trumpet. I've been taking lessons for over 6 weeks. Maybe I can fix you up with Miss Knight.
Thank you, Elsa Maxwell.
Well, I'll let you know. And in the meantime, don't do anything desperate.
You really care, Sammy?
Well, sure. Besides, you owe me $5 till payday.
Sit down and rest.
You don't like my new routine, Maxim?
Sonny, how much can you do with a tap dance?
A fine time to tell me after I'd based my career on it.
Yeah.
I could have gone in for opera, you know, or playing the harp. Or...
Yeah. Me, yeah.
Max, is the show still broke?
We don't make enough out of this booking for bus fare to Nowhereville.
Couldn't we promote some fresh money so we could dress up the acts and...
Honey, the day of the great American sucker is past. Somebody got to him first and cleaned him. The collector of internal revenue. Come in.
Excuse me, but is this where you're trying out new acts for Broadway?
Sorry, no midgets today. Maybe tomorrow.
I'm not a midget. I play the trumpet.
Well, you should have been a midget. It's quieter.
Oh, let's listen to him, Max. I think he's cute.
Thanks. I think you're cute, too.
Hey, kid, before this breaks out in a flame, maybe you better play trumpet, huh?
Sure. I brought it with me.
Oh? I thought it was a gun.
The Flight of the Bumblebee.
Great, but...
Six weeks ago, I couldn't play a note.
Oh, you must have been a very nice kid. Listen, Honeybee.
Yes?
You wouldn't happen to know anybody in this town with any loose, quick cash, would you?
Well, I know Mr. George Harvey. He's an old friend of Miss Knight's from New York.
Loaded?
I don't remember any George Harvey, Max.
Honey, you can remember him if he's loaded, can't you?
He's going to be at your opening tonight. Hey, if you want me to, I'll come and stand by his table so you'll know him.
Kid, there is more to you than meets the eye. Talent.
Max, I tell you, I don't remember any George Harvey.
Sonny, if he remembers you, the least you can do is remember him.
But
George Harvey. L-O-D-E-D. Loaded. Now do you remember?
Oh, George Harvey. Oh, sure. You know, he sounds like a very nice fella.
Hello.
You're all set, Mr. Harvey. When I walk in and stand by your table, Miss Knight will come over and remember you.
Sammy, you show flashes of genius.
Sure.
What a blow to Elwood Bray. How'd you do it, Sammy?
In some way, they got the impression you had money, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, well, that was not strictly honest, Sammy.
I didn't say so directly.
Well, just the same, Sammy, this will weigh on your conscience. Unless
what, Mr. Harvey?
I am going to make an honest man out of you. Sammy, lend me another $5 till payday.
Good evening, George.
Susan, where's Elwood?
Oh, well, at the last minute, he had to work late at the plant. Oh. May I sit down?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you.
Well, no Elwood, huh?
No Elwood. Are you sorry?
No. Susan.
Yes?
Elwood doesn't really mean anything to you, does he?
Not really, George. And as long as this is confession time, how about you and Sunny Knight?
Sunny Knight? You want to know something, Susan? I don't even know her.
You want to know something? I really didn't think you did.
You didn't think I could go for her type, did you?
Oh, George. I hope we're being absolutely honest with each other.
Absolutely.
All right, George. I believe you.
Good.
Hi, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, hello, Sammy.
Well, Sammy, what are you doing here?
Oh, just wandering by. You know how it is, huh, Mr. Harvey?
Yes, Sammy, Ixnay, Amscray, Edith Bay.
Don't worry, Mr. Harvey. As soon as Miss Knight sees me, I'll leave.
Sammy, you don't understand. Get lost. Things have changed. Fall down.
Everything's okay, Mr. Harvey. She saw me.
George, what are you two muttering about?
It really doesn't matter.
Isn't it a small world?
Caught
George
like a
Harvey.
Rat in a trap.
Oh, I just hope your lady friend is broad-minded, George, because I just can't help myself. Pucker off.
Oh, now, wait, please, Miss Knight. Please.
Look at this, Max. Of all people, George Garvey.
Harvey, like the rabbit.
Susan, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about this. It's all very simple.
I can see that, George.
You remember Max, my manager, Georgie.
Hiya, no. Georgie boy. Been hearing great things about you. Great.
Well, that's swell. Susan, Miss Armstrong is a very close friend of mine.
Now, we just say an acquaintance, George.
But I...
Oh, he sure has a way with us poor girls, Miss Armstrong. Remember those moonlight nights at Coney Island, Georgie?
Coney Island?
Still the same shy old George, Sonny.
And our act. Did George ever tell you about our act, Miss Armstrong?
What act? We never worked on
any. Oh, now, don't hold back your hidden talent on my account, George.
But I could
just mention my name in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan?
Hey, get the reading on that line, Sonny. Sheboygan. Dynamite.
Oh, a talent like his belongs to the world. Don't you agree, Miss Armstrong?
I certainly do. And as far as I'm concerned, the world can have it any time. Sammy, will you take me home?
Sure, Miss Armstrong.
But...
Don't worry, Mr. Harvey. I'll think of something.
Sammy, do me a favor. Get off my side.
Back to our two stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, and the second act of our story. As usual, Fred, that is George, has managed to get himself in much trouble with Irene, Susan. And as usual, things are getting no better fast.
Hi, Mr. Harvey.
My friend, Sammy.
Well, what's the matter? Didn't I fix you up with Sunny Knight?
Just tell me one thing, Sammy. Did you or did you not explain to Miss Armstrong last night the truth about this whole affair? Answer yes or no.
No.
Well,
I would have, Mr. Harvey, but she said she wasn't interested and would prefer some other topic of conversation.
No. So what did you talk about?
Stamp collecting.
That must have been brilliant.
Well, it wasn't easy. Neither one of us collects stamps.
Now, listen, Sammy. When Miss Armstrong comes in this morning, you explain to her how this all came about, do you hear?
You mean I should tell her the truth?
Exactly, Sammy. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's always the best policy.
Gee, this is a whole new approach.
Here she comes now, Sammy.
Well, good morning, Sammy.
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
Good morning, George.
Susan, Sammy has something to say to you.
Yes?
Miss Armstrong, speaking on behalf of Mr. Harvey. I just want
to say... Listen, Sammy, nothing you have to say on behalf of Mr. Harvey would be of the slightest interest to me.
Well, sure, Miss Armstrong, but you see, I was the one who arranged with Sunny Knight.
And furthermore, Sammy, you must convey to Mr. Harvey my low opinion of him for trying to involve you in his intrigues with Cora Sterl.
You want to answer that, Mr. Harvey, or should I?
First of all, Susan, I am not intriguing with anyone.
That's right, Miss Armstrong. Mr. Harvey was just an innocent dupe.
Sammy, no coaching.
And will you tell Mr. Harvey, Sammy, that he is at perfect liberty to carry on with whatever type he chooses at any time at all?
Carry on? Just how do you describe your conduct with Elwood Bray, Miss Armstrong?
Elwood Bray may not have your talent, George, or wide circle of friends, but he is at least truthful and reliable.
And boring.
Good point, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, really, George, I see no point in prolonging this.
And I suppose you intend to go on seeing old school chum Elwood?
It's quite possible. I suppose you'll be working on your act with Miss Knight.
It's quite possible. In fact, I might even go to New York with the show. If you could spare me from the paper, that is.
Oh, well, that won't be easy, George.
Well, in that case...
But naturally, I can't stand in your way. Talent such as yours belongs to the world. Let me know when you're leaving.
Susan, I... What do I do now, Sammy?
Easy. Just go to Miss Knight and convince her you're not rich. That way you won't have to go to New York.
Oh. Sammy, you know that sounds almost sensible. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, there's an answer, Mr. Harvey. But I'm your friend.
Sometimes, Sammy, I wonder.
Well, Mr. Garvey, come in.
It's Harvey.
Oh.
Sonny. Miss Knight.
Sonny.
Sonny, I have something to say to you. You and Max.
Oh, well, Max isn't here. Did you come to work in our act, George?
Well, not exactly. You see, I'm afraid you have a false impression about me.
I do?
I'm afraid so. And when you know the truth, you'll have a different feeling toward me altogether.
You're married.
Married? Well, no, but that isn't the big thing. It's...
By the fellas, maybe, but by the girls, there's nothing bigger. George.
Yes?
I'm a girl.
Well, I noticed that, but...
What? I thought we covered everything.
Well, the fact is, Sonny, I'm afraid you have the impression that I have money.
You don't?
No. That does make a difference, doesn't it?
No.
You see? Now, the way this thing came about was... You said no?
Look, George, all my life I wanted to like somebody for himself. Somebody honest.
But, now, wait.
You're honest, George. Why, once I went with a fella for 5 years before I found out he was flat broke and married besides.
Well, but...
And you wanted to tell me everything before we teamed up. Oh, I appreciate that, George.
But I'm afraid that I...
Oh, let Max find somebody else with money.
But I haven't got talent either.
George, are you kidding?
This is the last time I take any advice from Sammy. Good evening, Patience.
Well, Mr. Harvey, quite a stranger. Come in.
Well, you know how it is, Patience. Show business. Is Miss Armstrong in? Out with Elwood Bray. Well, it's no more than I deserve. I just dropped in to say goodbye.
Oh, you going somewhere, Mr. Harvey?
Sonny and I are doing our act tomorrow at the club, and after that I'll be leaving town.
Well, I just hope you get away in time. Oh, my goodness, you mean you're traveling with the show?
Well, show business. A lonely life, Patience.
Mr. Harvey, does the manager of your show know about Elwood Bray?
What about Elwood?
Well, he sings, after a fashion, and his father owns a factory. I don't think it'd be too hard to get him on the program tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. You mean I could show him up?
Sure. Show him up in front of Miss Armstrong. And then, when she begs you to stay in Hillsdale, you can graciously give in.
Say, that might work at that. Patience, you may have saved my life.
It's a big responsibility, but I'll accept it. Good night, Mr. Harvey.
Good night, Patience. And thanks.
Has he gone, Patience?
Sure, Miss Susan, and he took our advice.
Good!
Miss Susan, why do things between you two have to be so complicated?
Why?
Well, it's just that George is... just George, that's all.
Now that I think it over, I see your point.
Tonight, we are privileged to have with us two of your own very good friends from Hillsdale, Mr. Elwood Gray.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Sit down, Elwood.
Thank
Quit you, hamming it up.
And Mr. George Hart. Proving, proving once again that talent, talent is where you find it. And now the dramatic voice of Elwood Gray.
The dramatic voice of Elwood Bray. How corny can you get?
Be quiet, George. Elwood might be quite good. People always said he missed his calling.
Yeah, he should have been a hog caller.
Now, he's ready to sing.
You've got your opinion, and I've got mine.
From your back, from
land alive. Oh, brother, why doesn't he just beat it to death with a
George,
stick?
Keep still. George.
Sorry, Elwood. Some coward was trying to escape.
That was nice, Elwood. You were very well received.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Well received. It was received like the bubonic plague.
Oh, I don't know. I thought I held the audience very well.
You didn't hold them, you stunned them. Them as died fast were the lucky ones.
Well, of course, you'll do much better, Georgie boy.
Will I? Where's Sonny? It must be time for us to go on.
Oh, George, buddy, Max induced me to put a little money into this review. I'm now one of the owners.
Well, congratulations, Ziegfeld. But if you don't mind my looking for my partner...
George, sit down, George. It's better for you to hear this sitting down.
Hear what?
Well, as one of the new owners, I gave Sonny the evening off. We figured you could go on alone, George.
You what? But I can't do the number alone. You know that, Elwood.
Oh, sure you can. You're loaded with talent, George, kid. And if you get lonely out there, I'll drop a tray.
Elwood, you're a very mean young man.
And now that other bundle of homegrown talent, Hillsdale's own George Harvey.
I can't go on.
Hillsdale's own George Harvey.
Go get him, George.
Susan, help me.
Why, George, you mean you want me to take the place of the glamorous Sunny Knight?
Susan, if you'll help me out, I swear I'll never mention New York or Sunny Knight or my stage talent, anything.
Hillsdale's own George Harvey.
Susan.
All right, George, I just can't bear to see a grown man cry.
Look, if you don't know the words, just comment or anything.
I know.
Just mention my name in Sheboygan.
It's the greatest little town in the world.
That's good. Just tell them all you're a good friend of mine.
And every door in town will have a big welcome sign.
Mention my name in Sheboygan. But if you ever get in a mess...
A mess?
Just mention my name.
He said mention his name.
But please don't tell him my address.
He hates policemen.
Please don't tell him my address.
A square from nowhere.
Please don't tell him my address.
Just mention my name in Azusa.
Azusa.
Away out where the oranges grow.
Tell everybody in Southern Cal that you're a friend of mine, a really great big pal.
Mention my name in Azusa, but if you ever get in a jam, just mention my name.
She said my hench in her name.
But please don't tell him where I am.
She goes for grapefruit.
Please don't tell him where I am.
She is in Miami.
Please don't tell him where I am.
Susan, you were wonderful.
Oh, thank you, George. Good as Sunny Night.
Oh, you're better. Well, Susan, with a little practice, you've got kind of a habit of hogging the mic, but with a little practice, you and I could go on the road and get some experience and then head for the big town and...
George!
Hmm? Oh, yes, well, I guess it's like they say...
Yes, there's no business like newspaper business.
Sure, that's right. You always know best, Susan.
Why, George, do you really mean that?
No, but right at the moment, what else can I say?
Oh...
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in just a moment.
Susan?
Yes, George?
Are you sure Elwood isn't going to drop in tonight? I know it's just my imagination, but I keep hearing the road to Mandalay.
Oh, I don't think he'll be here, George. But with Elwood, you never can tell.
Mm. If it wasn't for him, that whole mess would never have started.
Or for you.
I hold Elwood responsible. Isn't there some way you can keep him out of this house? Isn't there?
Well, I can't very well do that, George. After all, I'm single, Elwood's single, and we're old friends.
I hate him.
Of course, if this house were our house...
Our house?
Yours and mine. Then you wouldn't have Elwood barging in on your date.
Susan, you mean... There must be some other way.
Well, anyway, I tried.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to join us then.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.